So, as we conclude, we have a few more lessons from Peter. And I always, you know, I was just talking to a friend of mine, Alan, and I was telling him, you know, no matter what anyone says to you, take it with a grain of salt. You know that expression, right? Everybody I look at, every author I read, every class I've ever gone to, every pastor I ever hear from, every advice I'm ever given, I take everything with a grain of salt. Everything except for this. The Word of God is true. The Word of God is powerful. Peter knew this. See, you know, we just got done talking about the prophecy of Scripture. The Word, how the Word is true. How in ages gone past, 2,000 years ago, they were saying the exact same thing they said in the New Testament, they said in the Old Testament. Everything from Genesis to the book of Revelation, and it all fits together like a glove with over 400 different authors over thousands of years, and it all fits together. Remarkable. Supernatural. Actually, even impossible when you think about it. For that many authors over that many years to be saying the exact same thing is literally impossible. Except for that's where God works in. He works in the impossibility. Scripture is the impossibility of truth. So Peter has just got done talking about the prophetic word. He's just got done talking about how the Holy Spirit inspired everything in this word. He just got done talking about all the truth. But now he has a dire warning. Dire. What does that word mean to you? If I tell you I have a dire warning for you right now, I think I would get your attention. I think you might sit up and take notice. I think you might say, well, where's the fire? Where's the storm? Do I need to take shelter? Peter is talking a dire warning to the churches. Remember, he's talking to the churches, many of which he has planted himself. He's giving them a warning. He just gave them the good news that everything in Scripture is true, that everything in Scripture is prophetic, that everything in Scripture is from God. But now he has a dire warning that there's others out there with things that are false. Starting with 2 Peter, verse 1. Peter says to the church, after he just got done telling them all about the beauty of the word, the prophetic word, but there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Boy, that sure sounds like a dire warning to me. False. What's wrong with false? It's the opposite of truth. And Jesus is the truth. There's the first thing that's wrong with false. False is also misleading. Have you ever had a mode of operation that you followed for years? I mean years and years, like 10 years, 20 years, and then you found out it was false? Am I the only one here that has had that kind of experience? Have you ever found something that you thought to be true was actually false? And what is the consequences of that? Sometimes they can be quite dire. There's a movie, Failsafe. Has anybody ever seen the movie Failsafe? It's a great movie. If you've never seen it, you should watch the movie Failsafe. So Failsafe is this movie, and it's about that, you know, they have a button that they can push for nuclear warfare, okay? And so Russia's got a button, and the United States has got a button, And so the whole movie is about whether or not they're going to launch a nuclear attack at each other. And they have this system called failsafe. So if Russia launches nukes at us, we hit a button, automatically actually, it will go to the place that we will send nukes at them. And they both know it. So it keeps them both at bay. Okay. Probably not the best plan, but it's a plan, right? But like both plans, they can go south. So one day, the United States gets this warning all over their radar that all these missiles are coming at them. They have about 2 hours before they're going to actually take out all of New York City. And so what do? They retaliate. And they hit their button. And they start sending their nukes. Kind of a scary idea, isn't it? Great movie, great suspense. Only it turns out it was a bad radar glitch. It was a bad computer glitch. It was false. It wasn't happening. But the ones they launched, oh, they were happening. And they were on their way to Moscow. And so the rest of the movie, they're negotiating about what they're going to do because they can't bring them back. They literally negotiate one of their cities. False has consequences. That may have just been a fictional movie. It's not too far from what could actually happen, is it? Especially in this day and age. Especially in this day and age, we have false all over the place. In this day and age, we don't even know what truth is anymore. That you have your truth, I have my truth, you have your right. You know, the number one thing in society right now is identity. And it's identity according to what I think my identity is. And that is the newest thing, that is the largest attraction out there right now, is letting everybody have their own identity or whatever that may be. And that everything's okay, and that everything is allowable. See, there's issues here. There's consequences here. There is a truth. God gives us truth. That prophetic word gives us truth. But there are false teachers and false prophets talking about things that were not true. And when things are not true, there are consequences. But there were also, Peter says, false prophets among the people. So there was all this good information. There's all this information 2,000 years back. But there was also false prophets. And to this day, we still have false prophets, do we not? We still have lies and deception, do we not? We still have people misleading other people. I think of, you know, just as our own instance right now, we're dealing with a roof, okay? And we have to have contractors in here. And we have to have them come up on the roof. And we have to trust them for what they tell us. But of course they have this motive, they want to make profit. And so we have to discern. We have to understand who we can trust and who you can't trust. Because are they really trying to help us, which is what their job is, or are they just trying to make some more money? So we have to be able to discern. We have to discern who are the false prophets, who are the false teachers among you. That's why I say you take everything with a grain of salt. You look at everybody and everything, and you just discern, you cross-check it, and you cross-check it against God's Word. Because God's Word is true. Peter says, but there were also false prophets among the people, just as there would be false teachers among you. False teachers among you. What's he talking about? He's talking about the church. He's talking inside the church that there could be false teachers in the church. No. The church doesn't have any false teachers. The church is true, and the church has got it all together. But the church is made up of people, isn't it? And so there can be false teachers. Take everything. I tell people, take me with a grain of salt. But I tell you, take it with a grain of salt. Look at what the Word says. Cross-check it a little bit. They will secretly introduce destructive heresy. Heresy. That's an old-time word. It means that you are speaking against the Word of God. Heresy. And a lot of times, the church itself was conducting its own heresy. It comes up with its own ideas. I was just talking to a group of people about the rapture. And I don't know what's going to happen at the end times. I don't know if we're all going to get swooped up before all the really bad stuff. I hope that's what happens. I truly hope that's the way it's going to go down. I don't want to be here for when it gets like fire and brimstone are raining down on us. But is that completely true? I don't know for a fact. The scripture is a little cryptic on that one. But we have people who say that is what's going to happen, and that you would be swooped up with a grain of salt. Look at what people say, especially when they start describing scripture. I just had a friend of mine call me, and he's telling me about how, you know, somebody told him his wife who passed she's dust. Because he read it in the book of Revelation. What? That's not what it says. What we talked about it before, when it says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So let's go take out the other person, just like that fail-safe movie. Let's take them out before they take us out. That's not what it says. Jesus is actually talking against that idea. So we have to read scripture, but we have to read it in context. We have to have good teachers and true prophets. Continuing. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. Many will follow. This is a dire warning because many will follow this depraved conduct. Many will follow the false teaching. Many will follow the wrong direction. What happens if you're trying to get to a destination, but you take a wrong turn? I was hiking one time. I was in Mount Zion in Utah. And so I'm up on this trail. And this trail was crazy. I mean, because, like, on this side, you had this, like, 1,000-foot drop-off. And the trail was slanted like this. And so you're trying to keep your footing so you don't kind of slide off into the trees. And then you have to kind of jump over different areas because there was, like, little chasms, okay? Just little cracks. But you still have to kind of do a little hop skip. But you're on this slant, and it's a 1,000-foot drop. And then it gets better because as I go on the trail wasn't marked very well. So Mary and I would go on a lot of trails, and when they're marked, it's a lot of fun. Because, you know, you come up to this tree, there's a yellow mark, and then you come up to this tree, another yellow mark, and you come around the turn, and another yellow mark on a sign that says 2.1 miles back to your destination. But this trail I was on had no markings at all. So I got this slanted trail. I've got these little places you gotta jump over. I don't have very good marking. And so I get towards, and I'm supposed to see this majestic overview, like this 360 panoramic view of all the trees and mountains when you get to the end. I was really looking forward to that. And I happen to be on it by myself. And so, you know, there's always a few people in front of you you're following, and a few people behind you, but it just kind of got isolated for a minute. And there was no people behind me, there were no people in front of me. And at the end of the trail head, it took a Y. And one end went off to the left, and the other one went off to the right. Again, no markings. And so I decided, well, I'm going to go this way. So I'm going this way, and now I'm starting to scale rocks. And I'm starting to go through bushes and stuff, and it's like, where is the trail? And I finally, after, I don't know, 5-10 minutes, I finally figured out, well, I don't think I'm on the trail anymore. So I do a U-turn, and I come on back. I finally get back to the spot where I made that turn, and thank God some other campers, some other hikers were there, and they start coming up. Actually, they were coming up that other pathway to the left. They were coming back through it. And I'm like, see, if you go the wrong direction, you can be in a lot of trouble fast. If you get out on those mountains and it gets dark, and you go off on that trail, you're scaling rocks and going through brushes and everything else, and it gets dark, you're in trouble. There are dire consequences to these things. So anyways, I finally go the correct direction, and it wasn't, it's like about here to the end of the parking lot. That's how far away the panoramic view was. I was so close. And then when I turned, I was yet so far away. And it was this gorgeous panoramic view. It's important to go the right direction and who you follow. Many will follow their depraved conduct. Now we think of depraved like, oh, man, they're just really out to lunch. They are getting way off track. They're just evil people. But that's not what Peter's talking about. He's talking about people who have distorted the Word of God. He's talking about people who have their own agenda. He's talking about people who are looking out for themselves. He's talking about people who are on an ego trip. That's what he's talking about here. He's talking about the religious leader, even some of the teachers inside the church, and that they will bring the way of truth. Truth. And to disrepute. Meaning it will be disrupted, meaning that it will be challenged. That, well, isn't that what's going on today? Aren't we challenging truth today? Aren't we even challenging the concept of truth itself? I've been talking about it before, and you know, if we don't have truth, it's kind of like that trail that's slanted, okay? And I forgot to tell you, it was getting kind of rainy too, so it was a little wet too. So you're jumping over areas, it's slanted, it's a 1,000-foot drop, and it's a little slippery. That's the condition we're in today. We're in a path that's slanted, that's got a 1,000-foot drop-off, and it's a little wet and slippery, and we're jumping over little areas, and more the bottom is falling out because truth has no foundation anymore. But the word tells us that there is truth. And the truth is Jesus. The key, like I said last week, to unlock any scripture, past, present, or future, to unlock Genesis, to unlock the book of Revelation, to unlock the Gospels, to unlock any of the letters from Paul, the key is Jesus. And when you put that key in the lock of whatever passage you're reading, say, what does this have to do with Jesus? It opens magically. And you understand what God is trying to tell us. Because what God is trying to tell us is the truth. What's the truth? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have life everlasting. That is the truth. That Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world. He came to save the world. That is truth. That little book I give to so many people that promises for every day has nothing but truth in it. It's just scripture. And it's scriptures that talk about all of our different situations in life. Anxiety. I need a little truth about some anxiety today. Desperation. I need some truth when I feel desperate. Panic. Oh, I need a lot of truth about panic, man. I'm telling you, man, I'm learning. I'm getting there just a tiny bit. I'm starting to put the brakes on it. When I panic, I'm like, well, wait a minute. Let's take a pause here. Let's take a breath. Let's pray a little bit. Dear Holy Spirit, I need a little help here. Like when I first looked at the roof, okay, I'm going to just be honest with everybody. I was like, uh-oh. What does that mean? I'm going to have to start roping stuff off and What's that going to cost? What are we going to do? How are we going to get it fixed? I mean, I had a thousand questions about that roof. But I decided that I'm going to take a breath. It took me a day. It took me a day to take a breath. I had a bad day. But the second day, I took a breath. I started talking to Roma. I started talking to Frank. I started talking to people at the state. I started making some plans. I started consulting with some people. I started getting some reality check. Because my mind can take it to bad places. And it's doable. We'll get it done. We'll get it fixed. We'll figure it out. We got these heroes already up there patching. And that's just a roof. But sometimes, you know, the roof feels like it's caving in, doesn't it? Doesn't it feel like it's caving in on your life? Doesn't it feel like it's caving in on your family? And then when we get into all this politics going on out there, there's so many lies, so much deception coming from both ends. It's like the whole roof is caving in on us. And we just need to take a breath. We need to pray for men and women who love and fear God. I used to just say fear God, and somebody corrected me and they said, hey Tom, you gotta put it in there, they gotta love God, not just fear God. I was like, wow, yeah, that's wisdom. I want people who love and fear God. I want them to fear, I mean shaking in their boots fear. But I want them to love unconditionally, love the people they serve. I want them to love and fear God. That's what Peter's talking about. He's talking about, hey, there are false teachers, there are false prophets, but you have the truth. Stand on that truth. Continuing. Final verse. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. I think of fabricated stories, I think of fairy tales. I think of myth. I think of fun little stories that aren't true. Only they're not so much fun when people are misusing them. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. So, what he's saying is they're going to get theirs. Their days are numbered. The enemy's days are numbered, and remember, whenever you get freaked out about the enemy only has two tools, lies and deception. And boy, isn't that what Peter's talking about? He's talking about false. But see, lies and deception are powerful. When you start getting an idea in your head, like that movie Failsafe, and you start acting on it, and you start creating the scenario you're worried about, and now you've got nukes coming at you, like it's for real now. It wasn't real before, but it is now. And it's because we fell into the trap. We allowed ourselves our imagination. Our imagination is a beautiful thing. I love our imagination, that God has given us imagination, that we can envision things, that we can see things that are not there yet. That we can see vision of what God's trying to do. That we can see potential in people. That's all imagination. The imagination of a child who takes a blank piece of paper and starts making mountainscapes. I think of that one artist who's that guy that makes it look easy. Bob Ross. Have you ever seen Bob Ross? That guy's amazing. Every time I see him, I'm like, I can do that. And he just takes this brush, he's like, tree, mountain, sky, a couple birds. I mean, he's doing it that fast. He has this imagination and this talent that comes out of his hands, and he just takes like a knife. He takes a knife. I've seen him do this, and he just takes a knife, and he has a mountain. There's not even a brush involved. You ever look out at the sky? It's just marvel. Just the clouds. Just the formation. And every day is different. It's amazing. And sometimes you get a little color popping out of there, some reds. Especially if you got a sunset going out. You gotta have the clouds to get a good sunset. If it's a clear day, you're not gonna get a good sunset. got to have the clouds so that they can bounce off there and reflect. God is out there with his paintbrush. He has his imagination. He's given us this gift of imagination, but our imagination can go in two directions. It's like that path I was talking about when I was hiking. I could go in two directions. I could go one and see this amazing panoramic view, a 360 degrees beauty of what God has done. Or I could start scaling rocks that are leading me nowhere, that are going to get me lost. All with a simple left or right turn. That's how easy it is to go in the wrong direction. And our imaginations can take us in the wrong direction. We can have doomsday scenarios in our heads. How many of us have had doomsday scenarios that have not come true? See, all the hands are still up. The same hands that came up, they're still up. Because it's all our imagination. But our imagination can also, what is it, a self-fulfilling prophecy, they call it, where we can create that which we fear. And that is going on across this United States right now. There is a lot of creating what we fear. Because we need to trust the truth. In their greed. Boy, I'm not trying to get out of the political bandwagon here, but I'm talking about both parties here. I'm talking about independents. I'm talking about all of them. In their greed, these teachers will exploit. Wow, is this ever fitting for our election day coming up? You would fabricate a story. Don't they have to do that now? They have to put on a newscast now. They have to debunk what was true and what was not true. And even when they debunk it, it's not really true what they're saying they're debunking either. It's so much of it is fabricated. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them. You know, there's that verse in Romans that there is no, say with me, no, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation with those who are standing on truth. There's no condemnation with those who are in God. There is no condemnation with those with the Holy Spirit. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. Take heart, those who try to deceive you, those who try to exploit you, those who try to cheat you, those who try to take advantage of you, their day is coming. Truth will prevail. So what do we do with all of this? Remember, Peter had a dire warning for the church. We are the church. His warning stands today. There is a beauty in Scripture. There is a truth. There is something we can hang our hat on. There is a promises that we can know that God will always keep you, He's always faithful, but there's also a heresy going on. There's a danger of who you listen to. So I go back to where I started. Take everything with a grain of salt. Even Scripture. Because Scripture has to be interpreted. So you need to... I'm a big believer that the Holy Spirit wrote this book. I'm a big believer that the Holy Spirit will reveal what it means. I'm a big believer that the Holy Spirit will make certain words pop. And if you look at what's popping and ask a few questions and ask the Holy Spirit for help, He will reveal that Scripture. I'm a big believer in looking at what God has told other people. I love Watch the Knee. Everybody here can talk about Watch the Knee. I'll give you a spiritual book. It's about that thick. It'll take you a year to read it. The guy is brilliant. But even watching me, I take it with a grain of salt. I discern what is he saying. Does it match Scripture? Does it make sense? They're different than I went to college and we would have to study Greek. At first I bucked it, but I was like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to hear all their opinions. I want to hear what God has to say. But boy, was I wrong, because God spoke to these men and women throughout the ages, and they wrote it in books, and they shared their insights, their commentaries. Read those. See what other people have said. And then see if it works for you. But mainly, it goes back to what I said. It's about who can unlock it. Who can unlock the scripture for you. Where is the key? I need a key to the door to unlock the scripture. And the key is Jesus. Know who to follow. That's what Peter's trying to tell them. Look, I built you guys. I got you started. You're the church of Jesus Christ. Don't forget who you are. There's going to be good people coming around from all the different lands around you with all their gods. They're going to try to influence you. There's going to be people coming to your church and they're going to have some of that influence and they're going to try to be talking to you. Remember who you follow. That's what Peter did. Every step of the way, even when he was denying him, he knew who he followed. He knew who he was even denying. He knew who reinstated him. He knew who he shouted out in the city streets and said that you crucified him. He knew the consequences of his actions, and he knew that God would always take him through. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for your promises, and we thank you for your warnings. We thank you for your red flags on the plague. We thank you for the getting our attention. We thank you for truth and for us to be able to discern what is not. We ask you, Lord, to start here. Start here. Help us to see truth in us. Help us to understand who we follow. Help us to understand that Jesus is truth, literally. Help us to follow him. Help us to know our heart and help our hearts to be one with you. Help us to share our heart with another. Help us bring another to truth. Oh, dear Father God, we pray for those who play with truth. We pray for those who play with lies and deception. We pray for those who don't fear you right now. We ask, dear Father God, for your mercy upon them. We ask for a change in our heart. We ask that they can repent. That they can change their mind, change their way, change their direction. And we ask, dear Father God, our Lord Jesus, dear Holy Spirit, that we follow you and you alone. This we ask in the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Take my mind. The
The way I see things, our perspective. We talk about perspective for almost a year. The way I see things and transform it. Take my imagination and move it to the good, not to the fear. Take my will. Oh, that's the hard one. Come on, let's be honest. That's the hard one. Take what I want to do. What I want to do today. Who do I want to serve today? Who do I want to put on that throne today? Conform it to yours. To yours, O Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that you take our heart. That you take our mind that's spinning all the time. That you take our will, conform it to you. Dear Holy Spirit, may you speak. And dear Holy Spirit, may we hear what you have, even if it's a warning, even if it scares us a little. It's for our good, we know that. It is in love, we know that. Let us stand on the promises. Let us heed the warnings. And let us walk with you, Lord Jesus, as we ask, through the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord. Amen.